This meeting occurred Monday. I was not able to attend, but there is a link to the rolling agenda. I know that they're into the working group. For those who haven't attended, I listened to the recording last week. The big effort is to sort of lay out a large spec and then get different editors to take on a section of it to work on the spec as well. There's been some discussion of the JSON web messaging spec. So this is the parallel to JOT, JWT specification, but focused around messages rather than tokens. There is a identity implementers working group call tomorrow. Steve McCowan will be hosting that, I believe. Right, Steve?
Yes, that's correct.
Any exciting topic to go over that's planned for tomorrow?
I have to bring up the page. I think we are having a guest speaker. I forget who it is at the moment. In this call, we tried to summarize many of the other working groups, but then also have a guest speaker come and present how they're using Hyperledger or Sovereign in their projects. I can get the name here in just a minute.
Okay. Any updates here? Protocol test suite. I know Keith's been working on it.
I made some edits in the document, but you are unfortunately able to see that until I hit update, which I haven't done. But the issue credential tests are now merged as of this morning, and then the present proof tests should be merged shortly as soon as we can resolve some minor merge conflicts. So big thanks again to Keith Smith for that.
Good. Okay. Sorry, I used that to quickly log in, then I can hit the edit button and see what people are putting into this. Okay. On the Aries shared, Andrew on our team, Andrew Whitehead, has been working on the Indy verifiable data registry component. That's gone well. He's talked about it on a couple of calls. I don't know if people have heard about it, but basically a way to interface to an Indy ledger that bypasses the Indy SDK. So a bunch of the functionality from the Indy SDK is moved out, reorganized, and it allows you to do ledger operations independent of the Indy SDK that work with Indy ledgers. So the idea with that is once that's in place, Aries can can use that as one of its pluggable VDRI instances. And that's gone really well. Andrew's been super pleased with how it's done. We've deployed it in a couple of places, the work he's done. It will be available in two different forms. One is the traditional C-wrapped mechanism. The other is as a embedded in a web server and invoked via REST calls, via HTTP calls. So that's kind of cool. Also, I can give an update on Aries Cloud Agent Python. Release 0.4.1 will probably go out today. It's got a breaking change in the area of forwarding messages, the handling of forwarding messages. I suppose it should be, we're getting into conflicts between how high the middle number can be, because release 0.6 is intended in Hyperledger parlance to be when it's essentially feature complete. And I'm not sure that's what we want to convey to people. So we'll figure that out. But anyway, so a new release coming soon of ACAPI so that it deals with the break in particular is related to something that Street Cred and ACAPI have been doing for a while, or the Aries.NET framework, but is different from the spec in regards to the handling of forward messages. So that requires basically a breaking change, which we're having to deal with. So that's coming out definitely this week in the next day or so. Troy, you want to talk, anything you want to add on Go?
Yeah, sure. I posted a summary. So route coordination and forwarding has been implemented, OFC 94 and 211. There is an open issue that we posted about how to coordinate between those two specs. I can post the link after. It's also integrated with the DataExchange implementation. So you can see the Go API package link and also the VDD test link that we're using to test that scenario. So that scenario is tested with two edge agents doing data exchange with each other, but via a router. And so the
excellent.
Posted. We also made progress on the JavaScript scaffolding. So to enable both browser and backend Node.js systems to use the framework via the WebAssembly build. NPM cool. packaging is in progress, and next is to expose the actual framework operations similar to the REST API. We've implemented external message handling and the purpose decorator, the RFC 351 proposal. We've implemented the request side of HTTP over DIDCOM. The 0.1.1 release is coming out in the next couple of days, and we're continuing on with a bunch of topics as I posted there.
Awesome. Lots of stuff going on.
Busy.
Well, yeah. I noticed at the top, prepare for the next Aries working group call. So that's not this one, that's the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you and Richard are coordinated on that. That's cool. Excellent. Updates from others. Jack?
No updates. Now, I have a quick question for Keith Smith, though. Do you identify the REST API hits on Akamai in your test suite? Keith still there?
No, I don't see Keith on.
Oh, so okay.
Daniel, I think can answer that question though for you. So the test suite. This is kind of some. Stems from recent discussion that we've had on how to implement the back channel and testing.
Right.
And right now there is a mechanism for having a pluggable back channel. So you can write your own back channel that interacts with your agent the way makes most sense for your specific agent. And then the test suite will just call that plugged in back channel and should work that way.
Thanks, Dan. So I'm trying to replicate some of the stuff on a Rails backend. So thanks.
Okay. Gotcha.
I'll get in touch with you offline on some of those details if I can't figure it out. Thanks. On
sure.
the chat. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Don't see Thomas Luff on. I know there's work going on with AriesFramework.net and StreetCred having their mobile agents available soon. Talking to Thomas Luff this morning. They're hard at work at finalizing the details of that and pushing them out to the both app stores, Google and Apple. So that's pretty cool.
A question, is there anybody else on the call that's doing .NET development in that repo?
There's a number of people. I think there's people contributing to that. I've seen things posted in things, but I haven't been monitoring the repo itself.
Okay. Because I got notified by Hyperledger yesterday that they're using a component that is proprietary to Microsoft and it needs to be removed from the repo.
Oh.
So we
okay.
need to, so whoever's doing the .NET framework that needs to be fixed, it's purely a licensing issue. Remember that anything under the Hyperledger umbrella has to have an approved license, and the only approved licenses I'm aware of are Apache 2 and MIT3. I know mm-hmm. there have been exceptions granted for certain libraries that are LGPL, but those are rare. So this one, given it's a Microsoft proprietary license, I don't think it's ever going to be allowed. So,
yeah. So you're just starting the discussion now on this? You haven't talked to anyone?
Not too much. No, I'm just bringing it up. I don't know where's the appropriate channel to talk about that, but I'm trying to get that out so we can start figuring out what to do to fix that.
Okay. The details should go to Thomas Loff.
Okay.
He's Team Markowski.
I'll put it in the Aries channel as well.
Yeah. That's a pretty crucial one to know. And I assume with the details of which library it is.
Yeah, it's okay. Some jQuery component that is used by the Xamarin framework. So, anyway.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Anyone want to cover any of these other topics? Is anyone on could talk about where we are with rich schema? I understand that some of the rich schema stuff is getting into Indie these days, into Indie Node, I believe.
If Adam's on the call, he could talk about that. I can tell you what I'm doing. I have started Aries credit exchange framework in Rust. I already have six attribute encodings started. Basically, just give it a specific format and then encodes it to what can be signed for credentials. And that code right now, I have it in a public sovereign repo, but anyone here could access it. I'm more than happy to share the link. I'll post it in the Aries channel. And I'm also starting the work on the credit exchange to wrap Ursa. And 031 did go out. It went out last week. And I'm working on publishing ZMix 010 so that it'll either go out this week or next week. And so there's some exciting work there. So I have started on the credit exchange framework, which does involve the rich schemas.
Okay.
So I can talk about Indie Node and some of the new handlers being added. If you look in Indie Hypes, and I believe Aries RFC also has some content about the rich schemas formats and some of the improved enhancements we gain with them. We're getting handlers implemented on the first thinkings around that. I believe that APIs are still going to change a little, but currently there's a rich schemas context handler for putting a context on a ledger. It's in the Indie Node repo, and I have a pull request, which I think is going to be accepted soon, for a rich schemas schema handler. And so there's movement there, and it's exciting. So any questions are welcome.
And this, and we're still using the term, so schema, and then there's a mapping as well. So the schema is the thing that points to things like objects in schema.org and stuff like that, correct?
So there's a context, a schema, a encoding, and the schema is still defining the information needed to parse data. So like what the attributes are in a credential, but they have types and allow improvements in codings or mappings, provide information on how to do attribute encoding, I believe. And then there's a context, context is like a dictionary. Yeah.
Right.
And as I talk about it, I'm not confident in all my definitions, so please.
Okay. Based on the presentations I'd seen earlier, I hadn't heard of a context object, so I got to look at that.
Yeah, I believe context object is something that came from JSON-LD as a shared vocabulary, shared dictionary to be used in other rich schema objects.
Yeah.
And just a short comment. As I know, there are a couple of pull requests. Currently, it's Indie Hypes, but I believe there will be Aries RFCs as well, which are going to change the current definition, the current details about the context object and the rich schema object. So we're expecting more design work here. I also would like to mention that there is a new issue in Aries RFC. It's the issue number 398, if I remember correctly. This is the issue to track the work related to the identification and relationship between each schema object, because although the current hype, they provide a great hypes at RFCs, they give us a great overview and kind of what objects we have, why it's needed and so on. I believe we still need to think in more details about what is the relationship, what is how it's identified, and answer a couple of other questions. So I believe this design work, these new RFCs will be produced soon. But for anyone who would like to participate there's issue 398. I have seen there are some comments already there, so you're welcome to participate in this discussion.
Okay, and that's an issue or a pull request?
Current is just a, just an issue, just an issue.
Okay, got it. Yeah. I can't remember what I was, am I sharing my screen or my...
Yes.
398. Okay. Yeah, there it is. It. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. Yeah. A couple of comments in. Good. Yeah. So it looks like, so basically the message is for the community that the rich schema work is amping up. Things are starting to be both built where it's understood what's being done, but also a lot of decisions are being made. So definitely an area to keep focused on, follow along with what's happening, and a bunch of links in here for it. And add now to that, this pretty important issue to discuss. So Mike, 3.1 you said was released. So that does have delegatable credentials in it?
Yes, it does. As well as the advanced configuration options. So you can now selectively choose which of the features in Ursa that you want, and it will only pick those features. It's a lot better controlled that way now than it was before. Before it used to, like if you wanted to just get like the Bitcoin curve stuff, it would compile in some extra stuff that you didn't need, and that has now been fixed. So it is, every feature is independent of each other, which is really nice. So if you want Bitcoin curve, if you want ED25519, if you just want BBS plus, if you want the indie stuff, you know, whatever you want, it's all segregated and compilable and all over, goes down to a C API if you want it. So the next thing that will probably be going in Ursa is a feature called, give me a minute, it's like a zero knowledge proof based on a challenge bypass that Cloudflare made. So if you're interested, it's called the privacy pass. I'll post that here in the Aries channel now. What it basically is, it allows you to log in to something. And then the server basically signs something with a MAC or in a symmetric key and relies on verifiable oblivious pseudorandom functions. And in a nutshell, what that means is when you go to present, have I logged in or not, instead of having a token, like an API token that's static or a session token, you do a zero knowledge proof in a very quick way that shows that you've already logged in without revealing what the token is. So where that's applicable is for KMSs that you have to log into and you don't want to have to remember, store any session keys or API tokens for specific features. So you can just bypass, the holder has a token and it's good for a certain amount of time, but they can prove that they have logged in already. It's very fast. Cloudflare already has it in JavaScript, so we don't have to do any work there, but we would like to put it in Ursa for those that want the C callable stuff.
Okay. On the delegatable credentials, does that include a revocation mechanism for all of the people on a chain of delegated credentials?
Revocation is already in there. So how the architecture is set up, we need to, that needs to be defined at the Aries layer. But revocation is in place, as well as delegatable credentials are in place. So all that stuff's in there.
No, I meant revocation of delegatable credentials. Is that in place? Yeah.
So we should probably discuss this more. I don't know. Is this the right meeting to discuss that? Because they can be
revoked.
it's an architecture thing largely. The crypto is in place. That's what that is.
That's what I was wondering.
That has all the crypto to do revocation, but the architecture is at the Aries layer.
So
I should probably
just let me quickly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If I delegate a credential to you and then you delegate it to Adam, can you revoke the one delegated to Adam without involving me?
That's how it should work, but that, again, that's an architectural thing. There's two different ways you can do this. It's an architectural thing on how you want to do it.
It sounds like having a session. I'd love to have a session on delegatable credentials. I think the more we talk about it, and understand it well, the sooner we'll get it out there, which is what I'm excited about. So, love to have a session on exactly, you know, just delegatable credentials and the ways that they can be used. So I think there's a bunch of use cases that really depend on them.
Yeah. Well, and there's two use cases that I know of off the top of my head that I can throw out as a primer. The first is if Steven delegates to me and then I can delegate to Adam, then if Steven revokes me, then I can't do anything else and neither can Adam. I call that the cut scenario. Basically, anybody below that chain is now cut off. And then there's the other one where it's more independent, where only I'm revoked, but Adam can continue to function. So I call that kind of the independent dual link. So those are two main ones I know of. There might be more.
Yeah. The bigger I was wondering about was in the middle of the chain. Can you revoke Adam's? And that sounds like that's possible.
Yep. Yeah, you can revoke anybody below you.
Yeah, that's the important one.
Yeah, you could also make it so nobody but the root can revoke. I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios we could come up with this, which is why I said it's more of an architectural thing.
Yeah.
But the tools primitives are in place to do that.
Excellent. Okay, cool. That's exciting. I think that's going to be a huge capability that we really need to have in place. All right. Any other release status work updates people want to share? Took much longer than I thought. Lots of good stuff coming out.
I have kind of started an Aries Core Rust, and I'm interested in working with Andrew on this IndieVDR, because I would like to make it a compilable option. So Indies Core Rust should be independent of whatever the back end is and has a flexible front end and a flexible storage layer. So I don't know, is there anybody already working on something like this? Because if not, then I can open my repo and I can jointly work with people on that. But the VDRI? Anyway, I'd like to help with that too.
Okay. I mean, the Indie VDR, I don't include the I when I talk about the Indie piece, because it actually is talking with the ledger and implementing the ledger updates. The interface would be just something that calls it in a generic way that ideally would be agnostic to which VDR it's calling. The work Andrew was planning on working on this next, the Aries and OnCred. So that's the big place where we'd like to collaborate with you and understand what you're up to, because that's where Andrew was shifting to next, was to look at that. So definitely interested in that piece. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I posted the link for the CredX framework Rust in the Aries channel. So you can reach out to me. I should probably create a Jira board for that, so people can pick and choose pieces that need to be put in place for that.
Awesome. Okay. Richard is not here. The other business plan for this was people asking questions about the presentation that I gave last week. I kind of rushed through it. Don't know how useful it was, but anyway, it happened. I don't know how many questions people have, but that I did not prepare anything for this other than, you know, I've got the presentation open on my screen and I read through it this morning to make sure I'm ready to answer any questions, but that's what was planned. So if anyone has any questions about the performance testing we've been doing and the experience we've had, just for context, we run in a Kubernetes environment. We are trying to load 2 million, issue 2 million credentials to a community holder. Credentials contain public information, and we're trying to do it as fast as we can. And so we went through a lot of work in figuring out how to make this work with Aries protocols to try to do it as purely, you know, using Aries as intended. So not take shortcuts. And in fact, what we found when we did take shortcuts, it actually bit us in the butt sometimes. That's the context of it. With that, I open the floor. I didn't, as I say, no plan for it. So open the floor to questions.
Hey, Stefan. Unfortunately, I wasn't on the call, but I have a chance to look at the recording and have several questions. So probably I'll start from my list. And if everyone would like to interrupt me and ask those questions, feel free to pause me and ask your questions. So, well, my first question is about the target performance. You just mentioned that you have a couple million credentials and you'd like to issue it as fast as possible. But is it just one-time operation or you assume periodical large portions to be issued? And what is the long-term perspective from performance?
It is a longer term. So the couple of this, why it's a long-term issue is, we will do this several times. We will have other jurisdictions do literally exactly the same thing. So we work with Ontario. Ontario is looking to move to the same platform. They have 7.5 million credentials. We do want to make this available for other jurisdictions. But the other thing is that the way we use org book and credential registries in general is that others may join the network of those of issuers using it, and they each time they join, they will have to load all of their credentials. And again, that could be very high volumes. So although it sounds like a one-time, you know, org book BC, there's actually a number of scenarios where this is going to come up multiple times, which is why we're focused on it. And then the second piece is when we think of an issuer in a enterprise environment, like a driver's license, it could be doing a lot of issuing, high volume issuing, especially in peak performance. I talked to somebody, or was it in India that wanted to talk about, you know, something to do with testing for students and issuing credentials in preparation for nationwide testing, where all of the issuance would happen in a very short period during the year. So there'd be these spikes. You think of the Ticketmaster use case when they go to sell tickets for a concert and they've got to issue, you know, 20,000 to 100,000 tickets in an hour, because that's how fast the tickets sell out. If the tickets were issued, that's the type of issuance process we'd want to have. So those are all motivations for getting this figured out. Ours are very selfish right now. We've just got a lot of things we've got to push out in a reasonable amount of time, and we can't take 2 weeks to do it. We have to do it in at least a very limited time.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. Well, should I continue with my list or somebody else would like to?
Jump in. Keep going.
Okay. So my main expression, I'd like to maybe share some thoughts. My main expression was, after watching this, is something like, we have some technical debt, actually, in Indie SDK. I mean that, in fact, current implementation of pluggable storage is Synchronous One, and it's one of the reasons why you have kind of queue in libindie, and for example, some logic is maybe CPU-based CPU high load logic may be blocked by some storage operations, and I think we should we shouldn't forget about it while we are designing Aries libraries. I think we should keep it in mind and design Aries KMS and other storage interfaces to be asynchronous. One of my major impressions from technical perspective, from architect point of view, we shouldn't forget about async API and should design it for Aries.
I mean, that's part of when we, you know, one of the great side effects of this is that it really got Andrew and us into thinking about how Indie SDK was structured and being able to understand it more. When we started, it was kind of, we considered it just a black box and we knew there was a queue in there, but we really didn't know how it operated or anything like that. We definitely assumed that it, or discovered that it could be a bottleneck. Obviously, we had other issues going on, as you saw from the various things. So we could get so far with it, but the fact that we're stuck at, you know, roughly 2,000 credentials per minute issued is leaving it short, and we think that could be a good place to go. Is exactly as you say, looking at some of the ways that the queues inside Indie SDK.
Okay, thank you. And my related question, my next question here: have you tried to test Indie SDK, or I should say, just libindie callable API with special load tests, or you just do some general system-wide performance testing?
We did a lot in doing that. We did a lot of single ones. We did not do a lot of clustered tests other than the system-wide. So I talk about that in the presentation. Is we could get, you know, developer workstation, and we did a lot of testing on that to figure out, okay, how could we improve it? But to do the, you know, ultimately we needed to do a full end-to-end test, and we found that even when we got some of the things working better on a workstation, we still had to see, are we actually impacting the end-to-end? So we tried to do a balance of both, but ultimately we definitely found we really needed to make sure. That's one of the things we learned as we got towards the end, was realizing, oh, you know, even if we'd improved it somewhat, we know we're going to get some benefit out of it, but we really have to see how it goes system-wide. And that's why, you know, this type of system's fun to test with, because there are so many moving parts. It's an adaptive system, and making sure that it's adaptive, that you don't have a single place that, or, you know, or several places that can skew how much scaling you can get. It's important to recognize those. So it's got to be a balance.
Yeah, sure. Totally agree here. But the reason why I'm asking, maybe you have some results around SQLable API and you are not satisfied with the particular performance of particular calls. In this case, probably my team can help to profile the libindie itself. And
There is, Andrew did a lot of work, and that's probably worth sharing, is the, we have a thing we call the performance demo, and he put a lot of timing into it. The tricky part is is of course figuring out that this thing, so the performance demo basically spins up a issuer, spins up a holder, and then issues however many credentials you request, and it does it through sort of an end-to-end process. We get lots of metrics out of that, but it's difficult to understand. So we learned some things, but it's difficult to understand how the parallelism affects the numbers you see. So we see this, and it's just classic, layered calls where you get a timing on one call that includes the time for a bunch of other calls, and you don't quite know how the layering works. That could be useful to get your team looking at as well, because it's a valuable tool, but it only carried us so far at understanding what was going on underneath. So that would be a really useful one that we could show you.
Yeah, it will be great. Thank you. And probably my just last technical, very technical question. There was a pull request to indicate code base around ordering in VQL. And yeah, it's and actually it was merged, but I'm not very satisfied of this of current state. I mean that it's more or less clear why it can help, why this ordering in the VQL and SQL is matter, but in our own tries to reproduce this problem, we have a bit different metrics, and probably it's worth to synchronize some public data that we can test around that, and trying to do better here.
Yeah, that one in particular, which is taking a WQL wallet query language, which gets converted into a SQL query. And then called, and this was covered in the last slide of the presentation, but basically what happened was we needed to do a query, or we needed to do a proof request on a particular credential in our 2.5 million credentials, and we had to do it basically by value. So we had to find a specific credential by passing in, say, four values of particular claims within that credential to uniquely identify the credential. So it is very specific to the BC Gov use case of a credential registry. The net of it was it generated a reasonable but fairly complex SQL statement. And the SQL statement was basically two parts. Part of it being finding the credential and the issuer and so on. And then the second part being finding the checking in the values of various fields. Does the claim exist in the credential, and does the value of the claim match the value we're looking for? And what Ian discovered when he started playing with it and tried to figure out, so basically it was a synchronous call, and it basically brought the whole system to its knees. So we needed to somehow fix that in some way. And we were looking at what hacks we could do, but Ian discovered that if he just reversed the order of the two chunks of the query, he got basically 100x performance in the database query and no impact of the size of the database. So reducing the impact of the size. So that was the hack we went with, and put it into the Indie SDK. It literally makes no change to the relational calculus or whatever you call that of the query. It just simply changes the order of the where clause, the elements of the where clause. And so I totally agree with you, Sergey. It's an ugly fix, and likely is database dependent. Whether you're using Postgres or some other implementation, because it really comes down to how the query optimizer in the database is working. I've seen this in other databases before. I'm sure others have. And it's just sort of the thing. Well, it satisfies what we need, but I agree. It's not a great fix.
Yeah, actually, I have two concerns here, technical concerns. The first one, I'm surprised why we can't reproduce it in our own environment. Yeah, we tried to create a large database, probably with with smaller. You can find, by the way, you can find the latest comment from Artyom in those tickets.
Okay.
And there are some details from our side. And in our case, seems like Postgres do, and we use, of course, Postgres plugin, not the default one. And then for our database, for our configuration, seems like Postgres do the same optimization in both orders, in initial one and after the fix. But we have about 2 times better performance than we are replacing in statements to join statements. It's a big improvement, but 2 times may be sensible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we looked at going into some deeper structural changes, but obviously once we'd found this, we were able to to move on. But I agree, it's not a satisfying solution in any way.
Well, I think not more quick questions from my side. Thank you for answers and clarifications.
All right. Thanks, Sergey. Thanks for the question. All right. I think that's all we've got for the call. I don't know if I don't see any other plans for it. So I think if anyone wants to add anything in, next meeting, Troy and team will be talking about the Aries Framework Go. And Troy, are you going to have, I would suggest having, I'd love to see a bit of a demo of things. So hopefully you've got that planned. It's not just a Q&A like we just did, but have a few things to present as well. So I would encourage you to do that. It'd be more interesting. And we'd see more of what the framework is looking like. It's sounding, that list you presented today was pretty amazing. So highly recommend people take a look at what's going on here before the next meeting 2 weeks from now. And with that, I think we'll stop the meeting. Any other comments?
This is Steve McCown. Just real quick comment. We're looking at creating the Aries SDK for iOS. Is anybody on the call already working on that we should coordinate with?
Me, Mike Lauder. Talk to me.
Okay. All right, I'll get to with you after the call sometime today then. Thank you.
Okay.
That was a thing. There's been two issues sent out or notes sent out in the last 2 weeks about mobile agents. So the Ajay, who was at the Connectathon, his team has released an open source React Native mobile agent, which I think is pretty significant, and I'm dying to hear feedback from people who have looked at that. And then there was something in the Aries posted today as well about a JavaScript framework that somebody has created that sounded very interesting. So looks like some things are happening on the mobile front in the open source side that might be interesting and helpful to the rest of the community. So keep an eye on those. All right. Thank you all. And that's today's meeting. We'll see you for this afternoon.
Thank you.
For those able to make it. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.